Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is Baruch Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem. We have up to the last Daf in Sukkah, Daf Nun Vav. And Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to conclude this beautiful Masechta today. What a wonderful way to go into the Yom HaNoraim, having Masechta Sukkah under our belt. And we begin a little bit above the two dots. I should have probably gone to the two dots yesterday, but in any event, we begin with the words, Yochol Af Bechovos Habos, Shalom Akmas HaRega. Now, remind ourselves, at the very top of the Amud, we have the Pasuk, Talmud Lomar, very first line of the Amud, Chelek Kechelek Yochelu, and the end of the Pasuk is, Levad Nimim Karov Al Ho'ovos. Now, this Pasuk we used yesterday to teach us that just like if you have a Chelek in the Avoda, you have a Chelek in the Achila, and the Achila here is talking about, we proved yesterday, the eating of the Lechem Aponim, so therefore, like all of the 24 watches, the Mishmaros were entitled to go and eat from the Lechem Aponim based upon this pasuk, Chelek Kechelek Yochelu. If you did a share of the Avoda, everybody was involved in the Avoda of the Regolim. So when Shabbos came out during the Regal, there were some things that they did in the Avoda, all the Mishmaros, so too, they were entitled to the Lechem Aponim. So Gemara asks the obvious question. Once they're entitled to that, they should be entitled to other things as well. Yochel, now we begin again. Four lines from the top, Nun Vav Omer Aleph, last staff in Masech the Sukkah. Yochol Af Bechovus Habo Shalom Achmas HaRegel BaRegel. If they're entitled to the Lechem upon him, maybe they should also be entitled to go and eat from the other korbanos that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash that aren't related specifically to the Yontiv Talmud Lomer. No, the end of this Pasuk, Levad Mi Mikarov Al Hovos. What does that mean? Ma Machru Ovos Zeh LaZeh. Just like the Avos, in other words, the Mishmaros, they all had a tacit agreement that when I'm on the week that my Mishmar is on, so we do all the work for the regular Korbanos. And when your Mishmar is on, you do all the work for the regular Korbanos. I won't get involved in your week. You won't get involved in my week. So too, Ani b'Shabbosi, v'yatar b'Shabbatcha, all the Mishmaros agreed that they would work. So only on the Regel was there a coming together of all the Mishmaros, but they only came together for things that were related to the Regel. For the regular Korbanos, as we said in the Mishnah, for all the normal Nedarim, Nedavos, etc., that were brought on a regular basis, so then the Mishmar that was on that week was the only one that did it. Therefore, we have a right to give the Lechem upon him to all the Mishmaros, but we don't give the other Korbanos to be divided up amongst all of the Mishmaros. Okay, now we're at the two dots, and we quote the Mishnah. Batzeres, Omer lo, Helech, Lechule. We said in the Mishnah that on Shavuos, you give out the Lechem upon him, and you give out the Shtei HaLechem for Shavuos, and then we also said additional statements in the Mishnah, which we're going to darshin as well. That's the Vechule. But first, the Gemara starts off with a statement that seems to be a non sequitur, and we'll only see at the end that we're using our Mishnah as a proof in this machlokus between Rav and Rabba Bar Bar Chana. What is this machlokus? Itmar. We learn the base medrash. Rav Amar, Rav's opinion is that the order of the Kiddush, when you make Kiddush on the first night of Sukkot, is you make the bracha, of course, Al Hayom, you make Mekadish Yisrael B'Yasmanim, or if it's Shabbos, Mekadish HaShabbos Yisrael B'Yasmanim, and then you make the bracha on Sukkah, Leishav B'Sukkah, V'Achad Kach Zman, and then you make the bracha Shechiyonu. So the order according to Rav is that you make Leishav B'Sukkah before you make the Shechiyonu. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says the opposite. Omar, no, you make the Shechiyonu first, Zman, and then V'Achad Kach Sukkah, and then you make the bracha of Leishav B'Sukkah. Now, what's the understanding behind each of these two shittas? Rav Amar Sukkah, you make Leishav B'Sukkah V'Achad Kach Zman, and then you make the bracha Shechiyonu. Why? Because Chiyuva Diyoma Odif. Because Leishav B'Sukkah is a chiyuv on the day itself. In other words, you're going now to sit in the Sukkah for the first time. You didn't make a Shechiyonu when you made the Sukkah. Technically, you're allowed to. The minhag is not to. We make the Shechiyonu in Kiddush, and that goes on the Yom, and it goes on the Sukkah. So since the Shechiyonu is going on not only the Yom, Mekadish Yisrov Yasmanim, but it's also going on the Leishav B'Sukkah, so Rav says it makes sense to make the bracha Leishav B'Sukkah first, and then make the bracha on the Shechiyonu. Chiyuva Diyoma Adif. And therefore, that is Rav's understanding. On the other hand, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, he says, Omar Zman, you make the Shachiyanu first, Yachakar Sukkah, and then you make the Leshav Sukkah. Why is that? Because which of these two is more frequent? You make a Shachiyanu much more frequently and do a Leshav Sukkah. You make a Shachiyanu all throughout the year. Leshav Sukkah you make only during the 7 days of Sukkah. And therefore, it's much less frequent. And we have the famous rule, Tadir, something that's frequent, Vishenu Tadir, something that's less frequent. If you're going to do both of them, the one that is Tadir is Kodem. So therefore, this is a basic fundamental difference between Rav and Rabbi Barachana in the order of the Shechianu and the Leisha Basukah. Again, Rav says, you first make the Leisha Basukah, then the Shechianu. And Rabbi Barachana says the exact opposite. You first make the Shechianu and then the Leisha Basukah. Gemara now wants to suggest that this machlokus between these two Amoraim is based upon a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel amongst these Tanoim. So Lema Rav, the Rabbi Bar Chana, are having the same machlokus here as the Plukso de Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel Kamifligi. They're arguing the same thing that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue. There's a famous Gemara in Brachos, the Tanur Rabban. We learn the Braisa. Devarim Shebein Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel Basuda. There are differences in the Gemara in Brachos. There's a whole number of different machlokas in, but here we're dealing with just the machlokas of the order of the regular Kiddush. So do you make the Bari Priyag Goffin first, or do you make the Makadish HaShabbos first? And Beis Shammai is going to give you two reasons why their opinion is correct, and Beis Hillel is going to give you two reasons why their opinion is correct. So, these things, Dvarim Shebein, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Basuda, Beis Shammai Yomim, Beis Shammai says, Mevarech Al Yom, first you make the bracha, Mekadesh HaShabbos, not like we do, and then, V'yachakach Mevarech Al Yayin, then you make the Bar Piyah Goffin. So Beis Shammai would flip around the order that we're used to doing. First you'd make the bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then you would conclude with the Bar Piyah Goffin. And they'll give two reasons for this. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel Omim. No. First you make the Mevarech Al Yayin, make the Bar Piyah Goffin like we do, and then V'yachakach Mevarech Al Yayin, then you make the Mekadesh HaShabbos. What's the reasoning? Beis Shammai Yomim, Mevarech Al Yayin, first you make Mekadesh HaShabbos, and only afterwards V'yachakach Mevarech Al Yayin, make the Bar Piyah Goffin, because Shayom Gorim LaYayin Shiyavo. Because the day is what makes you have the wine at the meal. The fact that it's Shabbos is why you're having a glass of wine now. So therefore, first declare Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then make the Bar Piyah Goffin. Now, he adds to that, Ukvar Kidesh HaYom V'adayin Yayin Loba. He also points out a second reason, and that is, the minute Shabbos starts, you're already obligated to say Mekadesh HaShabbos, but you can't yet eat because you haven't davened. So therefore, Kvar Kidesh Hayom, it's already Shabbos, Vadayin Yayin Labah, but it's not yet the time for the wine. So therefore, Mekadesh HaShabbos comes first in the order of which one comes first. So therefore, Kidesh Hayom, Adayin Yayin Labah. Those are the two reasons for Beis Shammai. Now, Beis Hillel Omrim, Mevarech HaYayin, no, you make the Bar Piyah Goffin, V'yachakach Mevarech Al Yom, then you make Mekadesh HaShabbos. Why is that? He gives two reasons as well. Shehayayin Goreim L'Kiddush HaShet Yomer. The rabbis instituted that you should make Kiddush Al Hayayin. Technically, you could just make Vayichul HaShemayim in Shul and be Yotzei the Mitzvah Deraisa of Kiddush. But the rabbi said, no, we want you to fulfill this mitzvah al hayayin. So the yayin is goreim that we make the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos. And therefore, the yayin should come first. Secondly, dover acher, a second reason, birchas hayayin tadira. And here we get into, let us say that this is the machlokas of Rav and Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Beis Hillel says, the wine is a bracha that comes more frequently, birchas hayayin tadira. We make bracha al hakos all the time. You have many Yamim Tovim, that you make a bracha lakos. You have many other scenarios. You have a bris milah. You have a chasna. You have many other situations where you make a bracha al hakos. So therefore, birchas hayayin tadira is more frequent that you make the bracha al hayayin as opposed to ubirchas hayom eino tadira. Okay, comes every week, but it's not as frequent as people who bench every day, al hakos, for example, or other situations that come up. So therefore, you have the principle of tadir, sheno tadir, you have the frequent birchas hayayin, bar piyah goffin, the less frequent Mekadesh HaShabbos, and tadir kodim, therefore you make the bar piyah goffin first. So now the Gemara says, let us say, lema rav de amur kibay shamay, rabba bar bar chana de amur kibay silal. Why is this? So obviously, Rabba Bar Bar Chana holding like Beis Hillel, they very said, Tadr, Sheino Tadr, Tadr Kodem. And how is Rav like Beis Shammai? Because Beis Shammai did not hold this principle. Beis Shammai said, no, that we ignore the principle of Tadr, Sheino Tadr, and we have the other reasons, the two reasons that Beis Shammai said, why the Mekadesh HaShabbos should come before the Bracha Al Hayayin. And therefore, let us suggest that Rav and Rabba Bar Bar Chana are each taking one side in the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Machlokes. Rav is holding like Beis Shammai, and Rabba Bar Bar Chana is holding like Beis Hillel. Now, neither one of these two Amoraim wants to be locked into that one opinion. So, Amalach, Rav tells you, Ana, I, the Amri Afilu LeBeis Hillel. My Shita is going even according to Beis Hillel. Even though Beis Hillel says, Tadir Sheino Tadir, I could hold like that opinion in regards to the Kiddush, but not in regards to Amachlokis with Leisha Basukah and Shechiyanu. Why is that? Because Ad Kan Lo Kamri Beis Hillel Hossam, in the case of Shabbos, do you make the Mekadisha Shabbos or the Baruch HaGofen? So there Beis Hillel said that you have to go with the principle of Tadr Sheino Tadr, but not for that reason. El Shayayim Gorim L'Kiddusha Shetiyomre. The real reason was that the wine is causing the Kiddush to come. The Tadr Sheino Tadr, he just threw in as well, so to say. But the real reason was because the wine is what's making you make Kiddush. The rabbi said, make Kiddush a la kos. So therefore, that's the real reason. But not Tadr Sheino Tadr. Aval Hocha, in regards to, do you make a Leisha Basukah, or do you go and make the Shechiyanu? So even though the Shechiyanu is more Tadr than the Leisha Basukah, that's not the reason. Aval Hocha, Ilav Zman, Mi Lo Amrinu Sukah, he says here, let's say, for whatever the reason, you already made a Shechiyanu. Would you not make a Leisha Basukah? Of course you would. Let's say you made a Shechiyanu for whatever the reason, before Yontif. So technically, you Yotzei with that Shechiyanu before Yontif. You still would make a Leisha Basukah now. So therefore, one is not causing the other to come. The reasoning by Shabbos that you make the Yayin before Baruch Pei HaGofen, before you make Mekadesh HaShabbos, is because the Yayin is Goreim for the Kiddush. But here, we don't say the Shechiyanu is Goreim to the Sukkah. No, even if you don't make the Shechiyanu, you still make the Leisha Basukah. So therefore, Rav Tainis, they still could hold like me over here as well. And similarly, Rabbi Baruch Hanan says, don't lock me into an opinion only Beis Hillel. I could even hold like Beis Shammai. Because Rabbi Baruch Hanan, on my law, he would tell you, I know, my opinion is, the Amri, I feel Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai could even agree with me. Because Ad Kan Lo Amri Beis Shammai Hotsum, in the case of Shabbos, that Beis Shammai says you make Mekadish HaShabbos, and then the Bar break off, and the main reason is, El Shayom Gorim L'Yayin Shevo. The day is what causes the wine to come. The day is the Iker thing, and the wine comes along for the ride, so to say. But here, in the case of the Shechiyanu preceding Leisha Basukah, according to Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Abba Hocha, Ilav Sukkah, for whatever the reason, if you don't have a Sukkah, person wasn't able to put up a Sukkah, so then you wouldn't make a Shechiyanu. Milo Arminim Zman, of course you make a Shechiyanu. The two are unrelated to each other to a certain extent. The Leisha Basukah stands on its own, the Shechiyanu stands on its own. If you don't have one, you still do the other. So therefore he says, even Beis Shammai might hold like me. So therefore, both Rav and Rabbi Baruch Hanan say that this has nothing to do with the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in regards to the Shabbos Kiddush, which comes first, Mekadesh HaShabbos, or the Bari Priya Gofen. Of course, we paskin that the Bari Priya Gofen comes first, and now we're going to discuss what is the Haloch Lamais over here with the Leisha Basukah and the Shechiyanu. So we continue this discussion with the following. Our Mishnah, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Batzeres, and this is not why the Gemara is putting this whole discussion in here, because otherwise, why in the world are we talking about suddenly in the end of the fifth parak, we're talking about the order of Leisha Basukah and the Shechiyanu. Should have talked about that earlier in the Masechta. So here is why this is brought in now. Our Mishnah said, on Shavuos, B'atzeres, Omer Lo, the Kohanim would divide up, and they would say, Helech Matzah, everybody's entitled to take a little bit of the Matzah. Again, we said, the Matzah is a reference to the Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim had to be made non-chametz. Almost all of the Mincha offerings in the Beis HaMikdash were made out of pure Matzah and not chametz. The two exceptions are the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos, which was chametz, and 10 of the 40 breads of the Korban Toda, which were also made out of chametz and not matzah. The other 30, the three other types, the 30 other breads of the Korban Toda, were also made out of matzah. So the two exceptions to the rule that you could make them out of chametz with the Shtei HaLechem and the 10 breads of the Korban Toda. In any event, so the Kohen said, and notice the order over here in our Mishnah, when they divided it up, they said, here, take the matzah, Helech Matzah, which is the Lechem Aponim, and after that, Helech Chametz, now take a piece of the Shtei HaLechem. What do you see? V'ha'ha'cha, the Chametz Ikar, u'matzah tofel. Even though the Chametz is the Ikar, the Shtei HaLechem, it's Shavuos, that's the Ikar. It happens to be Shabbos, so okay, so there's also the regular Shabbos, but here the Ikar, one wants to suggest, is the Chametz. And therefore, even though the Chametz is much less frequent than the Matzah, the matzah comes every week. That's the lechem upon him. And the chametz, which is the shtei lechem, comes once a year on Shavuos. So v'ha hacha duchamitz iku matzah tofel. Nevertheless, v'katani helich matzah v'helich chametz. It must be because of Tadu, Shein Tadu, Tadu called them. And this is exactly like Rabba Bar Bar Chana and Akasha on Rav, Tiyufta de Rav. So the verse says, no, it's not a Tiyufta de Rav. Amalach Rav, Rav would respond, no, this is a Machlokas Tanaim. Okay, even though we normally say Rav, Tanahu Apolik, Rav could argue with a Mishnah. We don't like to invoke that option unless we have to. And here we have a Beferish Tana that holds exactly like Rav. And that's what Rav would say, this is a Machlokas Tanaim. What was the gears of our Mishnah? So the gears that we had in our Mishnah was, it said first, Helech Matzah, and then it said Helech Chametz. But in the Braisa, it says the opposite. The Tanya, in the Braisa, it says Helech Matzah, Helech Chametz. The first opinion in the Braisa is like our Mishnah, that it said first, Helech Matzah, Helech Chametz. So the first opinion, Tanakama, this Braisa, is the author of our Mishnah. But then it has Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul Omer, no, he says the gears should be Helech Chametz. First you say, take the Chametz, because the chametz, the shnei halechem, is the ikka because of the day, and it trumps the principle of tadur sheino tadur, tadur kodem. And then you say helech matzah. So this machlokes between the Tanakama and Abba Shaul. So Rav says, I hold like the opinion of Abba Shaul, and the Tana of a Mishnah holds like the Tanakama of the Braisa. So therefore, Rav says, you can't bring a raya that the Mishnah doesn't hold like me because I hold like Abba Shaul. How do we paskin? So Mari says, Dorash Rav Nachman by Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Chisda, said that we don't pass it like Rav. Lo kidivrei Rav. We don't pass it like Rav, who said that the order was, Diomar Sukkah, you make a lesha b'sukkah, and only afterwards, V'achachach Zman. Ella, how do we pass it? Ella, we say, like Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Ella Zman, first make a shechianu, and after, V'achachach Sukkah. On the other hand, Rav Sheshes, Rav Ravidi, disagreed. He said, no, we pass it like Rav. Sukkah, you first make the lesha b'sukkah, V'achachach Zman, and then you make the shechianu. And how does the Gemara conclude? The Hilchasa, the Psak is like Rav. Sukkah, we first make the Leisha Basukkah, the Acha Kach Zman, and then we make the Shechyanu. Now what do we do? Halacha L'maisa. So it's very interesting. There are many people that have a custom that on the first night in Chutz La'aretz, that you follow this Psak, and there's so you follow this Psak, that you first make the Leisha Basukkah, and then you make the Shechyanu. And the rationale that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch is because the Shechyanu is really going not only on the Yom, making the Shechyanu, Makadish Yisrael V'Yasmanim, on the Yontif of Sukkis, but since our minog is not to make the Shechyanu when you build the Sukkah, so the Shechyanu is also going on the Sukkah, which is exemplified by the Leishev Basukkah. So therefore, you want to go and have the Shechyanu go on both of them, on the Yom, Makadish Yisrael V'Yasmanim, and Leishev Basukkah. So therefore, you make the Shechyanu afterwards. And that's what you do in Eretz Yisrael, when there's only one night, the first night, and in Chutz La'aretz on the first night of the 2 days of Yontif in Chutz La'aretz. But many have the custom on the second night that this rationale doesn't apply. They flip around the order. Because on the second night, you would definitely yotze the Shechyanu on the Sukkah. Because the halacha is that technically you make the Shechyanu before Sukkah starts. When you're building your Sukkah, you yotze for the Shechyanu on the Sukkah. So therefore, even if you want to say Sveika the Yoma, yesterday really wasn't Yontif. The second day of Yontif in Chutz La'aretz is the first day of Yontif, is the real Yontif, and yesterday was nothing. So when you made a Shechyanu yesterday, so you have to make another Shechyanu for the Yontif. But you already yotze the Shechyanu on the Sukkah. So therefore, even though we make a Shechyanu on the second night, we don't say, well, we made a Shechyanu yesterday, Mimon Shechyanu yotze. No, we make a Shechyanu on the second night for the Yontif, but the Shechyanu on the Sukkah was already yotze. And therefore, we want to connect the Shechyanu to the mitzvah of the Yom, of Sukkis, to Mekadish Yisrael V'Yasmanim. And that's why many people make on the second night the Shechyanu immediately after you say the bracha of Mekadish Yisrael V'Yasmanim, and then after that they make the bracha on Leisha V'Sukkah on the second night. And that's beautiful. Now we understand why this custom occurs. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Mishmar Shizmano Kavua Navachule. There's the intervening things that the Mishnah said, and that is Hu makriv tmidim, nedarim, unedavos. And then, we continue quoting the Mishnah, Ushar Kabanus Sibur. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, which I said we would get to when we get to the Gemara. What does Ushar Kabanus Sibur come to include? Lasu Yimai. Seems to be extraneous. What does it come to include? Ushar Kabanus Sibur, other Kabanus of the Sibur. So, no, it's coming to specifically include a specific carbon, albeit a rare one. Lasu Yimai, Parhelim Davishot Sibur, Usiri Avodus Kochavim. These are special Kabanus. We had a whole discussion about them towards the end of the last Daf Yomi cycle. the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, when we learn the Gemara in Harios, so that is something that Rechmano Lislan, if Klai Yisrael is instructed, wrong by the Sanhedrin, instead of each individual bringing the Karban Chatas, let's say the Sanhedrin said, made a terrible mistake and said, you're allowed to cook on Shabbos. So everybody goes and cooks on Shabbos. So if you cook by accident on Shabbos, you have to bring in Karban Chatas. So every individual would bring their own personal Karban Chatas. But when the entire Tzibor did it under the instruction of the Sanhedrin, so then, instead of every individual bringing their own Karban Chatas, the Tzibor brings what's known as the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor. And likewise, Rachmona Litzlan, if the entire Tzibor did Avodah Zarah based upon the instruction of the Sanhedrin, they made a terrible mistake, so then, instead of each individual bringing a personal Chatas for transgressing Avodah Zarah by accident, so then the Tzibor would bring what's known as the Seer Avodah Kochavim. So these Karbanos are Karbanos Tzibor, but they have nothing to do with the Yontif. So, for example, if on Yontif the entire Tzibor was doing something wrong, either a non-Avodah Zarah or Avodah Zarah error, now they're going to bring this on Chol HaMoed, so this has nothing to do with the Yontif of Sukkis, so then this is not something that all the Mishmaros get involved in, but in fact, only the Mishmar that's working that week is entitled to any part of the Avodah, the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, or the Sar Avodah Kochavim. Farshim point out, nothing is eaten from this, so you're not talking about a chalukah, and in fact, the Kohen Gadol has to do a lot of these avodos, so you're really talking about very specific activities that might be allocated to the mishmar that's on that week, but it's given to that mishmar, and it's not divided up amongst all the 24 mishmaros. Then the Mishnah said, another statement at the end, it says, "Who makris hakol?" And this mishmar brings all the korbanos. So what is this referring to? We already pretty much decided what the Mishmar does and what all the Mishmars do. So what is Hu Makris of Kol come to include? Lasu Yemai? So here again, it's coming to include one specific thing, Lasuye Keitz HaMizbeach. Now we've discussed Keitz HaMizbeach many times. The word Keitz, Rashi reminds us, is a Lashon of Odom Ochel Te'enim Bikinuach Hasuda. The word Keitz really means these delicious desserts, these figs that a person eats at the end of the meal. It's a dessert, and what we refer to over here are the korbanos that are brought on the Mizbeach like a dessert. In other words, when the Mizbeach is empty, we never want the Mizbeach to be empty. So if there are no Nedarim and Nedavos that the people are bringing, so then there's a kitty, there are funds, there are shofars that we collect. When we did Shkolim, we talked about the shofars that are for Keitz HaMizbeach. Sometimes money is deposited in there directly, other times it's when there were korbanos that got a mum and they were redeemed, so this money goes into what's called Keitz HaMizbeach. Keitz HaMizbeach. This is for the times when the Beis HaMikdash is not active, so we don't want it to be inactive, so we take from this kitty and we go purchase korbanos ola that are brought on the Mizbeach. This is known as Keitz HaMizbeach. So therefore, the Mishmar that is working that week, they're entitled to all the Keitz HaMizbeach hides that are brought, and we don't divide them up amongst the 24 Mishmaros. Now we go to the very last Mishnah in this beautiful Masechta, and the Mishnah begins as follows. Yom Tov HaSomach L'Shabbos, when Yontif comes out next to Shabbos. In other words, Yontif is either on a Friday or Yontif is on a Sunday. So, the halach is, whether whether the Yontif is on a Friday or whether the Yontif is on a Sunday, so how you call HaMishmoros Shavos B'chiluch Lechem HaPonim. So we had originally previously said that when Yontif falls out on Shabbos, so then obviously everybody has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and they're all entitled, therefore, to the Lechem upon him. And we'll darshan out some psukim further about this. But even when Yontif is on a Friday, for example, the last day of Yontif is on a Friday, as Gemara will explain, and therefore Shabbos has nothing to do with Yontif. Or if the first day of Yontif is on a Sunday, so again, Shabbos has nothing to do with the Yontif. Nevertheless, since everybody has to be there, you can't travel on Yontif, so the people that were staying there on Yontif was the last day Friday, so they can't go home, so they're staying there for Shabbos, even though Shabbos has nothing to do with Yontif. Or Yontif starts on Sunday, and therefore the Shabbos has nothing to do with Yontif. Nevertheless, all the 24 Mishmaros have to be there, so they're all entitled to a piece of the Lechem Aponim. As the Mishnah said, all you call HaMishmaros, Shavos B'chiluk Lechem Aponim. Now, what happens if Yontif is on Thursday or on Monday? So Chol Yos Yom Echad LaHafsik Bein Tayim. Let's say there was one day in between the Yontif and Shabbos. So if Yontif ends on a Thursday, so most people will go home, but some people won't be able to go home and they'll stay for Shabbos. Likewise, if Yontif is on a Monday, so many people will come in on Sunday, but some people will come in before Shabbos. So you can have extra people there for Shabbos that aren't actually part of the Mishmar that's supposed to be working that Shabbos. So Cholios Yom Echod Lahafsik Bein Tayim Yontiv is on Thursday or on Monday. So Mishmor Shusmano Kavua Hayonotel Eser Chalos. So we would divide up the lechem upon him. Normally, as we'll see, you divide it up either the Mishmor coming in and the Mishmor going out would divide it up either evenly, 6 and 6, or as we'll see, Rabbi Yehuda says they divided up 7 to 5, which we'll see in a moment in the Mishnah. But normally they would divide it up only those two Mishmaros. But here you have extra people, the people that came a little bit early, if Yontif is Monday, and the people that stayed a little bit late when Yontif ended on Thursday. So here, we say that the two Mishmaros that are supposed to work that Shabbos, the Mishmar HaNichnas and the Mishmar HaYotze, they don't take all 12 like they normally do between them. They take 10 of the Chalos between them. On this Akev, Rashi understands this, the people that either came a little bit early or that stayed a little bit late. Others disagree with this understanding and have a totally different shot, but we'll learn nice and simple like Rashi. That means, on this Akev, those people that aren't supposed to be there, but they are there because Yontif ended Thursday and they couldn't get home for Shabbos, or Yontif started Monday and they couldn't get there on Sunday, so they came earlier. HaMisakev Noto Shtayim. We give those people that are there 2 of the 12 breads. The Lechem HaPanim, when it was given out, had the miraculous quality that even if you had only a very, very little piece, it satisfied you. So this way, these people had food for Shabbos. HaMisakev Noto Shtayim. So these other 2 breads of the 12 Lechem HaPanim would be divided up amongst this group of people that were from the other Mishmaros, not the Mishmar HaNichnas and the Mishmar HaYotze, but had stayed longer after Yontif was over on Thursday, or had come early when Yontif starts on Monday. So hopefully that's clear how we divide up the Lechem HaPanim when it comes out on Shabbos and Yontif together, so then everybody divides it up. If it's Friday or Sunday, everybody divides it up. When it comes out on Monday or Thursday, so then the Shabbos is totally unconnected, but some people are coming in early, some people are staying late, so therefore we give them a consolation gift, if you wish, of 2 of the 12 chalos. Now the Mishnah continues and says, "B'shayim osashon, the rest of the year, what's the normal process? There is no expectation that there's going to be a large number of other kohanim over there. You just have the group that is coming in, the mishmar that is nichnas, that's coming in to work the following week, and the group that is yotze, the mishmar that is going to be leaving after having worked that entire week. So how did they divide up the lechem upon him under normal circumstances? So b'shayim osashon, the Mishnah tells us, "Ha'nichnas, the group that's coming in, no telshesh, va'yotze no telshesh. They divide it up evenly. The group that's coming in to start their watch the following week, they're going to start already doing work on Shabbos afternoon, as we'll see. So they get 6 of the lechem upon him, and the group that's leaving, they're finishing their work, they're doing the work in the morning, and then their job is done, so to say. They finish their week of work, so they'll take 6 as well. That's the opinion of the Chacham and the Tanakhama. Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe says you divide it up a little bit unequally. It will balance out in the long run because Rebbe Omer, HaNichnas Delto Sheva, the group that's coming in, always gets 7. So that means when they come in, they get 7, but when they leave, they're only going to get 5. Vayotze noto chamish. So the week that you come in, you get 7, and the group that's leaving only gets 5. And the next week, when you're the group that's leaving, you only get the 5. So it works out that over the 2 weeks, you each get 12 breads. Whether you do it 6-6-6-6 like the Chachamim, or whether you do it 7-5 and then 7-5 the other way, like Rabbi Yehuda, that is the way that you do it. Okay, these are the 2 different opinions. Then the Mishnah says, HaNichnosim, the group that is coming in to work, Chokim Etzof, when they take their portion, whether it's a 6-6 like the Chachamim, or the 7-5, they get the 7 when they're coming in, like Rabbi Yehuda, so they take their portion and they divide it up on the northern side of the Azara. The northern side of the Azara is you had more activity over there. Every Karban that was Kodesh Kodashim had to be shechted on the north. And therefore, that was a lot of the korbanos. That was the side that there was a lot of activity. And the Gemara was explaining to demonstrate that this is the group that's coming in. So they took their chalukah on the Tzofon side. And the group that was leaving, Layotzim, they would take their chalukah on the Dharm side, on the southern side of the Azara. By the way, the Mishnah tells us a very fascinating statement. Bilga was the 15th of the 24 watches. It was named after the father of that Mishmar, whose name was Bilga, and that watch, which was the 15th watch, La'olam, forever, we'll see the Gemara, they were punished for 1 of 2 reasons, La'olam cholekes bedarim, they always were given the southern side to take the chalukah, even when they're coming in, and they should have been on the northern side, so they were punished, we'll see why in the Gemara, so they were always given their chalukah on the southern side, as a patch to them, as a knas to them, and 2 other patches, 2 other knasim that they had, v'tabah tokibua, there were 24 tabos. They were to the north of the Mizbeach, and that's where each Mishmar had its own tabas, its own ring, and these rings were structures that allowed you to keep them open, and then to close it, you turned it, and it closed around the neck of the animal to make it easier to shech the animal. So every watch had their own ring where they did their shechita, except for Bilga's watch, Tabot Kvua. It was sealed. It was not allowed to be used. They were punished, as we'll see again why in the Gemara, and therefore they had to always borrow somebody else's tabas. Their specific tabas that was for them was always locked. It was always kavua. And the third punishment that they had, again, first one was they always got the chaluk on the south. Second one is that their ring was not allowed to be used. It was closed. And the third punishment was the chalona, the place where they would store on the northern side. There were various chambers on the northern side of the Azara. And these chambers had special windows in them. Windows here means like closets, where they would normally store the various utensils. So the utensils, as Rashi said, would be stored, the knives that they would use, the chalif that they would use for the shechita. So every watch had its own knives. So their window, their alcove, their chamber was always closed, it was sealed, and therefore they had to always borrow somebody else's, a third punishment. Now we start the Gemara. The Gemara says, what does it mean? I already explained it, but what does it mean in the Mishnah when it says that Yontif falls out, my lefonel, Yontif falls out before Shabbos, umay lachre, and Yontif falls out after Shabbos. So if you're going to tell me, ilema lefonel, when we're saying that Yontif falls out before Shabbos, it's talking about the first day of Yontif, Yom Tov Rishon. And if you're going to tell me, lachre, when Yontif falls out on Sunday, it means that that's the last day of Yontif, Yom Tov Achron, so that doesn't make any sense, because then Shabbos would be connected to the Yontif, Hainu Shabbos Shabbatoch HaChag, which we already said, when the Shabbos comes out B'toch HaChag, of course they divide it up, because they're on call, so they're working that day. So obviously that's not what it means, and it's as I explained it, Elo Lefonel, when we say that Yontif falls out before Shabbos, it means the last day of Yontif, Yom Tov Achron, so the last day of Yontif is on Friday, so that means that Shabbos is not technically connected to the Yontif. And when we said that the first day of Yontif falls out on Sunday, that means the first day of Yontif, L'Achra, means Yom Tov Rishon, so Shabbos is technically not connected to the Yontif. And in this situation, we give them a share. How come the Gemara says, my time? Shemora says, because Kivan, Dahani, Makadme, Bahanim Yachwe, because they were all working all week long, so they had to be there till Friday. They can't go home on Yontif, so of course they have to stay for Shabbos. And the shift that's going to be starting Yontif on Sunday can't come on Sunday, so they have to come before Shabbos. So since they're all working, they have to be there on Shabbos, and they can't otherwise not be there on Friday and on Sunday in these respective cases. So Tiknu Rabbanu Milsa Ki Hecha Dinechlu B'Hadi Adadi. So therefore, everybody got to eat from the Lechem upon him. And I mentioned previously, the lechem upon him was a special bracha, that it satisfied you even if you had a very small amount. Later on, unfortunately, the lechem upon him lost this bracha, and it said that the people that were tznu and the people that were the righteous people, they didn't any longer try to get a piece of the lechem upon him. And the gargarim, the people that were gluttons, they would try to grab as much as they could. So unfortunately, Niskatnu Adoris, and also with the time the Beis HaMikdash lost some of the tremendous miracles that it had, especially in the second Beis HaMikdash compared to the first Beis HaMikdash, so some of these nisim that occurred originally didn't continue to occur. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chol Yom Echad. The Mishnah then gave us the situations of what happens if Yom Tov comes out on Thursday, Yom Tov comes out Monday, and then it said during the rest of the year, and we brought down the Machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara questions, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the incoming shift got, the Mishmah that was coming in to work that week got 7, and the outgoing shift, the Mishmah that was leaving, only got 5. So how come? What did they do, so to say, to deserve the extra 2 when you were coming in? Bani Tarti, Mayiv Letayu. As Rashi says, this was a question of the Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, Hanichnas No Toshev, who said that the coming in shift gets 7. Why? What did they do to deserve 7? After all, the Chachamim's opinion, the Tanakhama's opinion, seems to be good. Divide up 6-6. So Rabbi Yitzchak explains, Rabbi Yitzchak, Bischar Hagofas Delosos, for the schar that they had, that they would close the gates. As Rashi explains, Shemishmor Hanichnas Magif Hadelosos, Arvis, that the incoming shift there, one of the first tasks that they would do would be to close all the gates at the end of the workday, so they would close all the gates. She pasach osan mishmar yotze, that the mishmar that was leaving opened them in the morning. So since they were already starting to do work, so they were given the extra loaf of bread. So the shift that was leaving gave up 1 bread. The shift that was coming in took that 1 bread, so that's why it's 7-5. They didn't give up 2, they gave up 1. But that made them only have 5, and that made the other one have 7. So it's a 2 difference, but they only gave up 1. Adi Gemara says, why don't they just say, B'nei Mole Dal B'dal? Why don't we do it this way? While we would theoretically get an extra 1 this week, but next week we're going to lose 1, so let's keep it nice and even. Let's do 6-6 each week. After all, the Chacham's opinion is very good. Why didn't they make an agreement, so to say, instead of saying, okay, I technically deserve an extra loaf because of the Hagofas Delosos, but since next week I'm going to lose that extra loaf, why don't we just make it 6-6? So the Gemara tells us a very interesting teretz, Amar Abayi, Butzina Tova Mikra. Now, the way Rashi understands this is the butzina and the kra are the same species, just one is small, it's a gourd, so one is a small gourd, and one is a larger gourd. And what this aphorism that people say is, what this statement that the people say, Marshall Hedjot, as Rashi says, this aphorism that people say is, a bird in the hand is better than 2 in the bush. In other words, right now, Reuven says to Shimon, I owe you money. So here, take this small gourd that's growing in the ground, and take it. Or if you want, leave it in the ground and you can come for it in a month and take it then. So this aphorism that the people say, this Moshel Hedyot, Abaye tells us, is that better take the one right now in the ground, pull it out, rather than take your chances that, okay, it'll get bigger while it's in the ground, but maybe he'll change his mind, maybe he'll lose it, something will happen to it. So a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. That's this expression. Take the small gourd right now before it grows into a much bigger gourd later on, but maybe something will happen and you won't be able to get it. Tosos doesn't exactly like that. He says that Botzina and Kra are technically two species, but he basically says one is smaller than the other. And at the end of this Tosos, Botzina, he explains from the Rabbeinu Tam that Ein Yochol L'Tosha Ad L'Achazman, this larger one is not yet mature, so you have to leave it in the ground. Whereas the smaller one, the different species, is mature, and you can take it right now. And the Reuven says to Shimon, you can take whichever one you want. You can take the smaller one that's ready right now, or you can wait to take the bigger one, a different species, they'll be ready in a month. So, similar idea, Tosa says, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Go take the smaller one right now, rather than take your chances on getting the better one later on. Now, we just explained that everyone agrees that the Lechem Aponim was split between the incoming shift and the outgoing shift, either 6-6 or 7-5. But what about the carbon musaf that was brought on Shabbos? Did they split that? After all, how did they do the incoming shift and the outgoing shift? How did they divide up the work on Shabbos? So Amar Yehuda, the Yehuda says, likewise, the carbon musaf, which is an ola, the carbon musaf of Shabbos is an ola, all carbon musafs are ola, so all of the meat was put on the Mizbeach, it was all maktir, but the hides. So who got the hides? How did they divide up the hides? And possibly how did they divide up the avoda of the Karban Musaf? Who got to do it? So Amar Yehuda, Uba Musafim Chokin. They divided up the hides of the Karban Musaf between the incoming and the outgoing Mishmar as well. Uba Musafim Chokin. This is the Amora Rabbi Yehuda, not the Tana Rabbi Yehuda we've been dealing with. So more questions. This more says, Mesi, we have a Brisa that doesn't seem to say that. How do they divide up the work? The Brisa says, Mishmara Hayot says, the Mishmar that was on all week and is going to be leaving that Shabbos, so after Shabbos. So that Shabbos, they did the morning Tomid. Mishmara Hayot says, Osa Tomid Shal Shachar, and they also did the Karban Musaf. So it seems to suggest that the Mishmar Hayot say, they're finishing up their job, they got the Musaf. And the afternoon Karban Tomid, which was done by the group, the Mishmar that's now coming in, Mishmar and Nechneses, they used to do Osa Tomid Shabbein Arbaim, and they also did the Bazichin. They also did the putting of the two scoops, the two kaf of the Bazichin, of the frankincense that was on top of each of the six lechem upon him, so they would sacrifice that on the Mizbeach. Now, that was the division of the work. Ve'ilu Musaf and Chokin Loktani, but it doesn't say that they divided up the hide of the Karban Musaf. So therefore, this seems to be a raya against Rabbi Yehuda, who said Ubu Musaf and Chokin, that they divided up the hide too. So where it says, no, Haitano b'chalukah lo kamayri. No, who says his Tana said anything about chalukah? He wasn't talking about the division, he's talking about the work. So, yes, the outgoing Mishmar, they did the Karban Tomid Shel Shachar, and they did the Karban Musaf, but doesn't say anything about dividing up. Maybe they did also divide up the hide of the Karban Musaf. So you can't bring me a ride from there. As Gemara says, Haitana b'chalukah lo kamayri. He wasn't talking at all about chalukah. However, now we're going to bring a brisa that specifically does say this, and will be a tiyufta for the Amora Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rava, what about this brisa? They learned in the basement of Shmuel, the Ma'ariv b'chalukah, a brisa that specifically was talking about the dividing up of the hide of the Karban Musaf. And it says, Uba Musafin Cholkin lo ktani. And yet, it doesn't mention anything about dividing up the hide, meaning that it was totally given over to the Mishmar that was doing the work in the morning, i.e. the Mishmar that was going to be Yotzei at the end of that day. And it says, the Tanah of Shmuel, they learned this brisa in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, Mishmar HaYotzeis, that Mishmar that had worked all week and now was going to be leaving after Shabbos, they are responsible, Osa Tomit Shel Shachar Musaf, and they do the Karban Tomit Shel Shachar, and they bring the Karban Musaf, and the Mishmar HaNichneses, and the Mishmar that's coming on to work that week, they get to do Osa Tomit Shel Ben Rabayim, they get to do the Tomit Shel Ben Rabayim, as well as the Bazichin. As we mentioned, they take the two cups of frankincense, the Kaf, the Bazichin, on top of each of the six lechem upon him stack, and they go and bring that to the Mizbeach. So this is what the Mishmar that is coming in to do the work gets to do. And here the Braisa now says, Beferish, about the Chalukah. And Arba Kohanim Hayu Nichnasim Sham, they would have two Kohanim from each Mishmar coming in there, a total of four Kohanim, Shnayim Mishmar Zu, Shnayim Mishmar Zu. So two representing the Mishmar that was going to be leaving, two representing the Mishmar that were coming in, and they would take the lechem upon him and divide it up, either the 6-6 like the Tanakama or like Rabbi Yehuda, the 7-5, the Cholkin Lechem upon him, the Ilu B'musafim Cholkin Loktani. Now this Bryce is clearly talking about Chalukah, and it only says that they will Mechalik the Lechem upon him. Ergo, they're not Mechalik the Musaf. Tiyufta, the Rabbi Yehuda, Tiyufta. This is in fact, a tiyufta against Rabbi Yehuda, that they also divided up the carbon musaf high. They did not. Then the Mishnah continues and says, "Hanichnasin cholkim batzafon." We said in the Mishnah that the Mishmar that would be coming in would always take their lechem aparim, either the 6-6 or the 7-5, and they would go and take it in the northern side, and the Mishmar that was leaving, so they would take their chalukah on the southern side. Tanur Rabban, the Braisa, explains further, Hanichnasin cholkim batzafon, kidei sheyeru shehen nichnasin. This would demonstrate which is the Mishmar that's coming in. Vayotzin cholkim adarim, kidei sheyeru shehen yotzin. Everybody would know that they were the ones that were leaving. This way there would be no mix-up, because if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, 7-5, you certainly want to make sure that it's to the right people being distributed. But even according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, at 6-6, you want to make sure that everybody knows who's on and who's off, who's doing the work for the morning, who's doing the work for the afternoon, and then which Mishmar is going to stay for the rest of the week, which Mishmar is leaving, so to make sure that there'd be no mix-ups, so they were divided up in this way. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah, the fascinating, sad story about the Mishmar known as Bilga. And it said, Bilga liolam cholekas badorum. We said that they always take their chalukah of the lechem upon him, always on the southern side, even when they're coming in, and they should be on the northern side. Nevertheless, they were punished, taken on the southern side. We said that their ring was also closed. They were punished for that. And they said that their chalon, their chamber where they would store the knives, was also always closed. They were punished as well. They had to both use somebody else's ring and somebody else's chalon, somebody else's knives, for the shechita. Why? What happened? What did Bilga do that they were punished so severely? Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Maisa, once time there was a story, the Miriam Bas Bilga, Miriam who was a daughter from the family of Bilga. Farshim explained, Labdavka, she was actually the daughter, she was Mimishbar Bilga, Haisa, Vekain Shema, and that's why her name was Miriam from that Mishmar, but Labdavka, she was actually the daughter. In any event, a tragic thing happened. Shehemira Dasa, she unfortunately married a non-Jewish person. She went off the Derech. V'holcha v'nisis, who did she marry? Lisardiot, that means a certain type of an officer, Echad Mimalcha Yavanu, certain Greek officer from the king's officers, he was the one that married her. Now, Kishenichnasu Yavan Lechel Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash was desecrated by Yavanu before the Chashmonaim, and they came and desecrated the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi points out this was during the days of Matisyo ben Yochanan, before the Chashmonaim took over. So, therefore, she went there with her Goyish, her husband, this Greek officer, and went into the Beis HaMikdash and made a terrible mockery there. What did she do? Haisa miva'etes b'sandla. She gave a zetz to the Mizbeach with her sandal. She gave a kick to the Mizbeach, agabi Mizbeach. And she said, the Omra, locus, locus. She called the Mizbeach locus. Locus, Rashi explains to us, is a Greek word that means zev, a wolf. Loshon Yevani, this means wolf. So she called the Mizbeach a wolf, wolf, wolf. Ad Masai Ata Mechale Mamonon Shal Yisrael. How much longer are you going to go and cause Chai Yisrael to lose their money? They're bringing karbanos, they're doing all sorts of expenses for the Mizbeach, and you Mizbeach are doing nothing for Chai Yisrael. The Greeks came in here and are desecrating everything. So you are a false Mizbeach. You don't do anything. All you do is destroy the money of Chai Yisrael. A terrible, terrible thing to say. And you don't help them when they're in need. Right now, the Greeks are coming in there. If you were really powerful, you would stop the Greeks from coming in. Now, when the rabbis heard Nebuch, what this Miriam Bas Bilga said, so they made this knas. Kavu es tabata esosmo es chalona. In addition to making them always have to take their chalukah in the southern aspect of the Azara, they also closed off their tabas and they sealed off their chamber where they would put their knives, and they always had to borrow somebody else's ring to do the shechita and somebody else's knives to do the shechita. That's reason number one why the watch of Bilga was punished. Reason number two, the Yesh Omrim, alternatively, some suggest, Mishmarto Shohalavo. They were always late. They were never people that were on time. So the 14th watch, which was the watch before them, was known as the watch of Yeshevav. And Yeshevav, so he would always have to stay late. So they rewarded Yeshevav by always giving Yeshevav the northern area to get their chalukah. And they punished Bilga by not letting them have the northern side, even though when Yeshevav was leaving, they were supposed to be on the southern side, but they let Yeshevav stay on the northern side 2 weeks in a row, the week that they came in and the week that they left. And this way they punished Bilga, because the week that they were coming in, they should have been on the north, they stayed on the south, and of course the week that they were leaving, they always went on the south. So Yeshevav was always on the north getting the chalukah, and Bilga was always on the south, always getting the chalukah. And in addition, they punished Bilga with the closing of their ring and the steamer of their chalon. So this was the second reason, because they were always late, and therefore, v'nichnas Yeshevav achiv imo v'shimish tachtav. So Yeshevav always had to stay late, And they didn't mind, and they did it. So they were rewarded, and Bilga was punished. Now, Gemara says, normally we say that Eilu Rosh, Eilu Shchenu, as the Gemara will itself say in a moment, so you might have thought that Yesheva, who was right next to Bilga, the negative impact of Bilga would have rubbed off on them. Nevertheless, Shcheni Bilga, this 14th watch, known as Yesheva's watch, Nistakru, they got schar. They in fact benefited because of the fact that Bilga was bad. So Yesheva benefited. They always, when they came in, of course they were on the north, but even when they left, since that was Bilga, they stayed on the north, and Bilga was punished when they came in. Instead of being on the north, they went to the south, as I mentioned, and then the next week, of course they were on the south, because that's the week that they're leaving. So even though we normally say Oilu Rosh or Oilu Shcheino, that didn't apply over here between Yesheva and Bilga. And that, I think, is a schus, because Yesheva didn't mind staying late. Every time they were on call, they knew they'd have to stay late, right? In the hospital, when doctors switch over, so the people that are coming on try to come in on time. So they know the people that are leaving are tired and exhausted. If you come late, they have to stay longer. It's not fair. So Yesheva, even though it was unfair to them, they just worked a full week and they were tired. Nevertheless, they stayed without any complaints, and therefore they were rewarded. Nadigmore says, going to the second reason that the Mishmar of Yesheva stayed late, because Bilga was always delayed in coming on, so we understand why the entire Mishmar of Bilga was punished, because all of them came late. It wasn't one guy. The entire Mishmar was chronically late. I knew the Kansino and Lakula Mishmar, so we understand why the entire Mishmar was punished to always get the Chaluk on the south, to have their ring closed, to have their chamber closed. Fine. Perfectly good explanation. But according to the first reasoning, Elamand the Omar, it was just this one poor soul, this Miriam Bas Bilga, who was a wicked person, Shemira Dosa, she was the one that became Nebuchadnezzar the Derech. So why was the rest of the Mishmar punished? Mishum Barate, Kansina Leila Didei, because of one bad daughter, so the entire Mishmar should be punished? So Amar Abai says, yes, in. This is 100% correct, the Amri Inshi, because why are we punishing the whole Mishmar? Because of the famous, again, Marshall Hedjot, that Rashi calls this an aphorism, a popular saying that common people say that Marshall Hedjot, Shusa, Rashi explains, means the words. Shusa means dibor, Rashi says, and the words of a diunuka, of a child, that he says, bishuka, so whenever a child expresses himself, it either is a statement that he heard, oh, davua, oh, dime, he must have heard from his father or his mother. So when this woman, this Miriam Bas Bilga, said, Lucas, you wolf, Mizbeach, you're not doing anything good for Klai Yisrael, all you're doing is stealing Klai Yisrael's money, and you don't provide any benefit to them. She didn't come up that way on her own. She must have heard her father say that. And therefore, that's why the Mishmar was punished. It wasn't her isolated statement. But unfortunately, children learn from their parents. Children learn from their teachers. And they could learn, unfortunately, bad things from them sometimes. And she heard bad things. So it was the entire Mishmar that was responsible. Mara still is not happy. Mara says, okay, so her house, Umishum Avua, V'imei, Kansina, Lekuli, Mishmara. So her mother and father, they taught her bad things. Okay, so punish the mother and father. Why should the entire Mishmar be punished because of that? So here's where Abaye tells us the statement I mentioned before. Amar Abaye, Oilu Rosh or Oilu Shcheino. As Rashi points out, this is a din from Tsaras. When a person's house has Tsaras, so if they had an adjoining house, so even though you're the cause of the house having Tsaras, but your neighbor, his house gets knocked down also. And that's the idea. Oilu Rosh or Oilu Shcheino. If you hang out with bad people, so it's going to rub off on you most of the time. And therefore, you get punished because you're hanging around with bad people. The Mishmar of Bilga didn't do anything about these negative comments. They must have known about it, and it must have influenced them as well. And therefore, the entire Mishmar was punished. Now, we always want to end the Masechta on a positive note. So therefore, the Gemara says, Tov la tzadik, tov l'shcheino. Rashi says, this is based upon the logic of Mida tova meruba mimiba paranius, that a good thing is much better than a bad thing. So if the bad thing is oil rosh oil l'shcheino, so certainly, Allah has kama v'kama, that if you hang out with good people, that's going to be good for you. So we now quote a pasuk to that. It seems that Rashi didn't have that pasuk, because Rashi doesn't have any Dibra Maskel on this pasuk or explaining this pasuk, but in any event, we want to end the Masechta on a positive note, so we say, Tov LaTzadik, Tov L'Shcheino, and this is based upon the pasuk, Shenemar, Imru Tzadik Ki Tov, when you tell a tzadik that it is good, so Ki Pri Malalehem, plural, that the benefits, the fruits of all of the tzaddikim, yochelu, everybody will get to eat. So it starts off talking about an individual tzaddik, and then it talks about ma'aleihem, the benefit of all of them. So therefore you see that when you have a tzaddik, and he has shcheinim, so the shcheinim benefit from being around the presence of that tzaddik. What a beautiful way to end this beautiful Masechta. Hadron alecha cholul, uslikala Masechta sukkah. Hadron Allah HaCholul Uslika La Masech Tesukah. Hadron Allah HaCholul Uslika La Masech Tesukah. Mitzvah Hashem, we look forward tomorrow to starting another wonderful Masechta, again, very appropriate before Sukkot, to learn the Masechta of Beitza, which deals with the halachos of Yontif. Sukkot is a wonderful Yontif, and many of these dinim that we're going to be learning in Beitza are going to be halacha lamaisa, practical for the upcoming wonderful Yontif of Sukkot. I hope everybody's enjoyed Sukkot. Mitzvah Hashem, I invite you to join me, and if you'd like to share, invite your friends to join us as we begin Masechta Beitza.